our souls today. Oh, come on, my soul. Oh, don't you get shy on me. Lift up your song. 'Cause you've got a lion inside of those lungs. Get up and praise the Lord. Yeah.
is not a thing that's here. And every eye is on you. Can't get enough of your praise. It's the perfect point of view. Isn't it just like, just like, just like heaven? I can't get it.
Well, good morning, Ascend Church. We welcome you this morning. We thank you for joining us. And we encourage you to stand and lift up a praise and a shout this morning. Those of you watching online, we encourage you to worship alongside us. Come on. I want everybody, come on, put your hands together.
I saw Satan fall like lightning. I saw darkness run for cover. But the miracle that I just can't get over, my name is registered in heaven. And I believe in signs and wonders. I have resurrection power. Still the miracle that I just can't get over, my name is registered in heaven. Oh, my praise belongs to you forever. Oh, this is my testimony from death to life.
Come on.
'Cause grace rewrote my story. I'll testify. By Jesus Christ the righteous, I'm justified. This is my testimony. This is my testimony.
Together, sons and daughters,
bought with blood and washed in water. Sing the praises of the Spirit, Son and Father. Our God will finish what He started.
Come on and declare it.
Oh, our God will finish what He started. Oh, this is my testimony from death to life. 'Cause grace rewrote my story, I'll testify. By Jesus Christ the righteous, I'm justified. This is my testimony. This is my testimony.
This is my testimony from death to life.
'Cause grace rewrote my story,
I'll testify.
By Jesus Christ the righteous, I'm justified. This is my testimony. This is my testimony.
Come on and shout out hallelujah in this place. Lord, we thank you for your grace, for your mercy. We thank you for your salvation. That's my testimony. God is good. Come on, shout it out.
If I'm not dead, you're not done. Greater things still to come. Whoa, I believe. If I'm not dead, you're not done. No, no, no. Greater things still to come. Whoa, I
say.
If I'm not dead, you're not done.
Oh.
Greater things still to come. Whoa, I believe.
Oh.
If I'm not dead, you're not done.
Oh.
Greater things are still to come. Oh, I believe.
Whoa. Somebody sing it, come on.
This is my testimony from death to life. 'Cause grace rewrote my story. I'll testify. By Jesus Christ the righteous, I'm justified. This is my testimony. From death to life. 'Cause grace rewrote my story. I'll testify. By Jesus Christ the righteous, I'm justified. This is my testimony. This is my testimony.
Oh, amazing grace. Oh, how sweet. Church, right now, I want you to give a big shout of praise in this place. Come on. Hey, it wasn't for nothing that you shed your blood. Hey,
so I'm gonna live like my shame is gone. I won't be shackled to the way I was. Oh, I'm gonna live like my chains are gone, gone.
Nothing else fit for a just one move. With my arms stretched wide, I will worship you. So I throw up my hands, praise you again and again. 'Cause all that you get shy on me, lift up your song, 'cause you've got a lion inside of those lungs. Get up and praise the Lord. Come on and sing it out. So come on, my soul, oh, don't you get shy on me, lift up your song, 'cause you've got a lion inside of those lungs. Get up and praise the Lord. So come on, my soul, oh, don't you get shy on me, lift up your song, 'cause you've got a lion inside of those lungs. Get up and praise the Lord. Oh, oh, praise the Lord.
You get shy on me, lift up your song. You got a lion inside of those lungs. Get up and praise the Lord. Come on, my soul.
Come on, my soul.
Don't you get shy on me, lift up your song. You got a lion inside of those lungs. So get up. Get up, get up, get up. Come on, my soul. Don't you get shy on me. Lift up your song. You've got a lion inside of those lungs. So get up
and praise
the Lord.
Oh, cause all that I have is a hallelujah. Hallelujah. And I know it's not much, I've nothing else fit for a king, except for a heart singing alleluia. Alleluia. Amen.
Hallelujah, hallelujah. Holy Spirit, you are welcome. There's nothing worth more.
Yes.
The glory of your goodness. Let us become more aware of your presence. Let us experience the glory of your good. Come on, cry it out.
Let us become more aware of your presence. Let us experience the glory of your goodness. Let us become more aware of your presence. Let us experience the glory of your goodness.
Your glory, God,
is what our hearts long for,
to be overcome by your presence, Lord.
Holy Spirit, you are welcome.
Yeah. Sing it out.
Comfort this place and
sing it out.
The atmosphere.
You're welcome, Holy Spirit.
Your glory
is what our hearts long for,
to be overcome by your presence, Lord.
You are welcome, Lord.
Your presence, Lord.
Your presence, Lord. I want everybody, just lift your hands to the Lord right now. This is a prayer we pray from our heart. Say, Holy Spirit, you are welcome here. Say, Holy Spirit, I want to experience your presence. Fill me once again with your presence today. I surrender myself to you, Lord. I want more of you. I give you all of me. Come on, sing it out again, everybody, with your hands lifted up. Sing it out again. Holy Spirit, you are welcome.
Holy Spirit, you are welcome.
Come on, sing it out with us.
Come flood this place and fill the atmosphere.
Your glory, God, is what our hearts long for.
To be overcome
by your presence, Lord.
Holy Spirit,
Holy Spirit,
you are welcome.
You are welcome.
Come flood this place and fill the atmosphere.
Your glory, God,
is what our hearts long for. To be overcome
by your presence, Lord. Your presence, Lord. Your presence, Lord. Your presence,
Lord.
Father, on this Pentecost Sunday, we're so thankful for your Holy Spirit, whom you've sent to us to empower us, to guide us, to teach us, to help us. Holy Spirit, we're so thankful for you. You are welcome. You're welcome in this place, Holy Spirit. We love you, Holy Spirit. Have your way. I pray
that you would touch every life today, Lord. I pray that every person would experience your presence today in Jesus' name. And everybody said amen and amen. Hallelujah. Come on, lift your hands. Give the Lord praise today. Give the Lord praise. Put your hands together. Give him a shout today. Come on, say hallelujah. We praise you, Lord. We exalt you. We bless you. We magnify your holy name.
Praise God. Well, welcome to Ascend Church this morning. Won't you just turn and greet someone? Tell them how glad you are to see them. Maybe see them. Good morning, everybody. How wonderful to see you in church this morning. It's going to be a good service, right? Yes, yes, yes. You know, maybe to you, sometimes people are used to focusing on Jesus and what Jesus did, and they're not that used to focusing on the Holy Spirit. But I was just reminded what Jesus said. He said to the to the disciples, he said, don't go anywhere until, just wait. Don't go anywhere until you're endued with power from on high. And so it was really, really important that the Holy Spirit was, that was the birth of the church. It was really important, the Holy Spirit. And so it's very fitting on this Pentecost Sunday that we are going to hear the message we're going to hear and that we're going to turn our focus on the Holy Spirit. We always look at what Jesus has done, but this is a big part of it. Amen? And so welcome to those that are watching online, especially our Send Church members. If you're not back in church, if it's for anything other than health reasons, if you just got in the habit of staying away, come to church, right? That's, you know, we heard it said, the more you miss church, the less you miss church. So make it a habit to keep coming to church, right? I want to welcome anyone who's visiting our church for the first time. We love having new guests. We were all a new guest at one time, right? And we don't want to embarrass you in any way. We just like to honor you, recognize you, hand you a visitor pack right where you're sitting. So if you are here for the first time, would you mind just waving your hand that we could welcome you? I don't see that. There we do. Thank you so much. Wonderful. Wonderful to have you here. Tony Corrado is one of the most evangelistic people I've ever met. He uses every opportunity. He's a quiet man, a godly, dedicated man, but he's quiet, but he uses every opportunity to invite whoever he meets to come to church with him. And it's phenomenal because, first of all, he was invited more than 12 times by Janice before he came, and then he says he invites people numerous times and just invites them to come to church with him. So I love that. You're a great example to what we all should be doing, right? So good. But your guest, you just fill out that visitor card, that guest card. In a few minutes we'll pass an offering bucket by. Just drop it in. Pastor Steve would love to call you and meet you after the service. So thank you. For those of us in church, not our first time, we pass a register. Sometimes you'll see a clipboard coming by, and we like to explain what it is so that you don't wonder. It's a register. It's a way for us to make note of who's here and who's not here. Sometimes people are not here. We find out later they were sick, they were in the hospital, they needed prayer. Nobody reached out to them because we just didn't notice that they weren't there, and that's not good. So when that register comes by, just mark that you're present. If anything's changed, your email or your phone number, just change it for us. It really helps us as pastors. So thank you for doing that. I just want to mention, if you don't get our weekly updates on our text message, we try not to overdo it. We definitely send out one a week, just letting you know what the message is. It's so easy to share with, just forward on to a friend. But if you don't receive those messages, you just text the word ASCEND to 313131, and we will add you to that list. And then just to let you know, we're on social media. If you're watching on Facebook, check in. Let us know where you're watching from. You can share our live stream on Facebook. You know, sometimes we have a certain amount of people watch. We have way more people watch than we have in actual service. But then people go and share it, and it reaches a whole nother group of people that wouldn't even have thought of coming to church. But because you shared it, it reaches out to them. So you could do that, share our live stream on Facebook. You could like, and please like or share the Facebook and the Instagram pages, and download our app. Our app is a treasure trove, and once again, everything is shareable. So there's a Bible reading plan, and there's blogs, and there's messages, and it's anything. You've got a friend who's going through, is suffering with worry or anxiety. You find a message that ties in with that, and you send it to them, and it's a blessing in season, right? And then just to let you know the different ways that you can watch if you are not in church, those of you who are watching, if there's ever technical difficulties on Facebook or what have you, there's alternatives. You can watch on the Ascend Church website, which is ascendchurch.us, and then on our app is an easy way, on YouTube, Ascend Church Jupiter, and all these things are available after the service, and Facebook. And then on Sunday mornings, we're on Fox 29 at 7:30 a.m. But we don't need to watch that because we're in church, right? That's just to let other people know. And that's another, I like that Fox 29 one because it's an outreach, once again, to people who maybe aren't looking for a church service, right? And it just comes to them in their living room. And so I like that. You can visit online. You can scan the barcode on the back of your seat. We just say these things because sometimes people... We've had someone who's been here for a long time and said, gee, I didn't know we could watch on YouTube. Like, where were you when I told you that? But anyway, so you just, if you scan that barcode, it gets you right into our app and it helps a lot. Now, lastly, our purpose, always the four main purposes of our church, whatever. There's different subjects. Pastor Steve teaches on different subjects. We have a different focus at different times. But our purpose is always, first of all, that you would know God, that you would find freedom in every area of your life, that you would discover your purpose, and that you would make a difference with your life. Amen? Praise the Lord. We're going to do, just mix things up a little bit because the way the service is going to go, and we're going to receive the offering right now. So as we prepare for that, you can go ahead. There are envelopes that are in the seats, the seat backs. It's very subdued in here. That music should liven up maybe. There's Muff. I like these guys. They're so good on such good jammers, right? They really are. Anyway, we are going to receive the offering. So you can prepare yourself envelopes right there. There's various ways to give that will come up on the screen. But I wanted to tell you about a story that I heard. Thanks, Miguel. I wanted to tell you about a story that I heard that was... you know where I'm going, Miguel? You know I'm doing the offering? Thank you. Just want to make sure I have a scripture to read. Okay, but he's helping me. Thank you. They're so good with what they do. Everybody's so good at what they do. It's amazing. We do everything we do. Almost everything we do is volunteer run, and they are phenomenal. And just here in the week and do all kinds of things. But I read a story a little while ago about a contractor who was working on a house in Cleveland, Ohio, and he, when he opened up one of the walls, he found $182,000. I mean, that's not a bad find, right? And it turned out that it had been stashed there way back in the Great Depression. And, you know, that's not a bad find, but I wouldn't mind cleaning out. We're going to be cleaning out our garage. I wouldn't mind finding a stash like that somewhere in the wall. But that's talking about money that you didn't know existed, but it was there all the time. And it reminds me of a Bible verse in the Old Testament from Malachi, which says that if we give generously and sacrificially, that God will open the windows of heaven and pour out blessings and bless us in unimaginable ways. I'll read it to you in Malachi 3:10. It says, bring your full tithe, which is 10% of what you earn, to the temple treasury or to the church, so that will be ample provisions in my temple. Test me in this and see if I don't open heaven itself to you and pour out blessings beyond your wildest dreams. Hey, I didn't write that. God wrote that. He's like, I want to pour out blessings beyond your wildest dreams. You know, people think that's a prosperity message, or that's something somebody came up to hook people into something that's wrong. This is God's word. And he actually says, why don't you just test me? Test me and see if I won't do it. And so when you give generously, intentionally, sacrificially, obediently, you are putting yourself in a position to receive blessings from God. That I'm just repeating what the word of God says, right? And so when you, but when we hold on to things, when we get stingy and we live, you know, our life just revolves around our money and ourselves, we cut ourselves off from God's blessings. And so like this contractor found something that he didn't know was out there, when we give, we receive blessings that we didn't know were out there and we wouldn't have got hold of if we weren't generous, right? And so just to let you know the end of that story, the contractor and the owner ended up in court with 21 of the family members who decided they wanted a piece of the action. So you can imagine at the end of the day, there was very little left to divide amongst all those people. So it's not a very good, happy ending to that story. But as our ushers get ready to pass the buckets around, I want us to remember that God has blessings unimaginable, beyond our wildest dreams. He has opportunities that you haven't even thought of. He's got ways to bless you you haven't even thought of. But he says that as we are obedient, when we say, Lord, I'm putting you first, I'm honoring you, I'm making sure there's ample provision in your house, he says that that's what will happen. We'll see those blessings. Amen? So prepare yourself to give. There's different ways you can. You can text to that number. You can give online. Those that are watching, it's really simple. On Facebook, you can click to give. You can click give online on our website, ascendchurch.us, and we appreciate your giving. Thank you to those who give online during the week. There are those that give recurring giving, and it's a blessing to our church. Amen? Let's pray over the offering as we get ready. Okay. We emailed out a tithe letter for last month's giving. If you did not receive one, or if you have a problem with accessing your records, because we send out an email thanking you for giving, and then we give you a link to where you can view your giving, you know, for your tax purposes. If you have a problem with any of that, if you didn't get it, or if you can't access it, Monique, our beautiful Monique, waving her hand over there, is the person to talk to, and she will fix that up for you. So thank you. Father, we thank you for each and every person here. We thank you most of all for your word. Thank you for your promises. You could have just told us what to do, Lord, and we would have done it, but you told us to do it, and there are always blessings attached to obedience. So I thank you for every generous, faithful, sacrificial, obedient giver in this room. I thank you for the blessings, unimaginable blessings beyond their wildest dreams that you have for them. We thank you for your blessing on your people, Father, in the name of Jesus. Amen. 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 Go ahead, ushers. Thank you.
Praise the Lord. Good morning, everybody. It's good to see you today. Thank you, Nick. I could hear you loud and clear over there. Well, today is Pentecost Sunday. Did you know that? Today is Pentecost Sunday. I want to ask you to stand with me one more time, please. Stand with me one more time. I'm going to ask everybody to move to your right. Everybody move to your right as far as you can. Just move to your right. Just move on down to your right like that. There you go. Take a step to the right. Just pretend you're in Disney World right now. And they're having you move down and you're smiling and you're happy about it. Amen. Praise the Lord. That's it. Yeah, just move on down as far as you can. Thank you so much. Yeah, that's great. You may be seated. Thank you so much. Today is Pentecost Sunday. I'm going to explain to you in a moment what that's all about. Are you ready for God's Word today? Turn to your neighbor, tell them, I'm so glad you're here today. I'm so glad to be sitting next to you today. Now smile at them. Praise the Lord. Are we ready, media team? Doing a great job today. Hi, I'm Steve Barry. Let's do that again. When I get to the part where I say, we'd love to see you at our church, I want you to clap and cheer as hard as you can. Will you do that? You sure? All right, here we go. Hi, I'm Steve Barry. I'm the pastor of Ascend Church here in Jupiter, Florida. If you live anywhere near Jupiter, I want to invite you. We would love to have you come and visit our church. I promise you, we have the friendliest people in the world. They'll make you feel so welcome. Your kids will have a great time at Ascend Kids Church. So we hope to see you soon, don't we, everybody? That's it. That's it. Now, today is Pentecost Sunday, and I want to speak about the Holy Spirit. I asked someone this week, I said, you know, it's Pentecost Sunday. And they said, what is that? So let me tell you what it is. The word Pentecost means 50. And 50 days after Jesus' resurrection, it was 50 days ago that we celebrated Easter. So 50 days after Jesus' resurrection, the Holy Spirit came to the earth. And that is what we celebrate today. Today, you know, just like we celebrate Jesus coming to the earth, being born in Bethlehem, today we celebrate the Holy Spirit coming to the earth to empower the church. Now, Jesus spoke a lot about the Holy Spirit. In John 14, verse 26, he said, "But the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all things that I have said to you." In John 16, verse 7, Jesus said, "Nevertheless, I tell you the truth, it is to your advantage that I go away." Now, if something is to your advantage, that means it's better for you. It's to your advantage that I go away, for if I do not go away, the Helper will not come to you. But if I depart, I will send him to you. The contemporary English version says, I'm going to do what is best for you. That's why I'm going away. The Holy Spirit cannot come to help you until I leave. But after I'm gone, I will send the Spirit to you. Now, Jesus is getting ready to go to the cross, and he's getting ready to be raised to life to redeem us. And then he's going to return to the Father. That's where Jesus is right now. He's seated at the Father's right hand. He's preparing the disciples for his departure. And he tells them, don't be afraid, don't worry, because I'm going to send someone who's going to comfort you, who's going to counsel you, who's going to teach you, who's going to guide you, who's going to strengthen you, who's going to empower you. Who's he going to send? He's going to send the Holy Spirit. Say amen, somebody. Why is this best for us? Why is it to our advantage? Because when Jesus was on the earth, if Jesus had remained on the earth, if he was still here today, You see, Jesus was limited by a human body. He lived in a human body. And so if Jesus was still here today, you wouldn't be able to go and talk to him. You wouldn't be able to see Jesus. I mean, you get on it, you'd have to get a flight, fly over to Israel, to Jerusalem, and you know, get a taxi and go to the get a hotel and then go find out where Jesus is and get in line. I mean, you're not going to have a chance of talking to Jesus. But the Holy Spirit has come to fill each and every one of us. We can have a relationship with the Holy Spirit. He's there to help us 24 hours a day. That's why it's better for us. You need the Holy Spirit. Say, I need the Holy Spirit. And the good news is you have access to Him. See, I don't want to just know the Holy Spirit for myself. I want you to know the Holy Spirit also. And there's so many Christians who are missing out on this wonderful gift, this friend, this helper, because of something. It was something weird they saw, or something someone told them, or some kind of preconceived idea they have. But I invite you to taste and see that the Lord is good, that you need the Holy Spirit. Because when you have the Holy Spirit in your life, you have the power of the Holy Spirit in your life. You have strength, and you have comfort, and you have joy, you have direction, you have wisdom, you have peace, you have love when you have the Holy Spirit. And you know, after Jesus' resurrection, he appeared to the disciples and in Acts chapter 1, and he said to the disciples, don't leave Jerusalem, but wait here until you receive the gift I told you about, the gift the Father promised you. For John baptized you in water, but in a few days from now, you will be baptized in the Holy Spirit. I promise you this, the Holy Spirit will come upon you and you will be filled with power. And you will be my messengers to Jerusalem, throughout Judea, the distant provinces, even to the remotest places on the earth. Now, Jesus told them to wait for the Holy Spirit. They weren't to go anywhere. They weren't to start ministering. They weren't to start preaching. They weren't to do anything until after they had received the Holy Spirit. Because when they received the Holy Spirit, they would receive power. And Jesus knew that they needed the Holy Spirit. And let me tell you, so do you and so do I. We need the Holy Spirit. Unfortunately, there's so many churches in this country, and not just this country, around the world, but you know, this is where I live. And there's so many countries in America today that will not be talking anything about the Holy Spirit today. There's so many churches that are oblivious to the Holy Spirit today. But he was so precious and important to Jesus' ministry that he told the disciples, don't go anywhere. Don't do anything. Don't preach. Don't try to minister. You got to wait. You need to receive the Holy Spirit. Amen. And I want you to know, you're in a church where I am bold enough. I'm bold enough to preach and tell you what the Bible says, no matter who says what about it. No matter who says what. Because when you stand up and preach about the power of the Holy Spirit, trust me, you are going to be persecuted. You are going to be talked about. Not everybody's going to like it. Oh, you one of them tongue talkers, talking in tongues. And you can't believe, it's amazing to me how many pastors have backed away from the Holy Spirit and from declaring about praying in tongues because they don't want to be criticized. In John 14, verse 16, Jesus said, I will pray the Father, and he will give you another helper, that he may abide with you forever, the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it neither sees him nor knows him, but you know him, for he dwells with you, and he will be in you. Now, Jesus says, you know him because he dwells with you, but he's going to be in you. In fact, the New Living Translation says he lives with you now, and later on he will be in you. You see, the Holy Spirit had been with them because the Holy Spirit was with Jesus. The Holy Spirit is the one who anointed Jesus with power to do miracles. And the reason that we can do miracles like Jesus did miracles is because he sent the same Holy Spirit to fill us with power, just like he was filled with the power of the Holy Spirit, because all of the miracles Jesus did, he did by the power of the Holy Spirit. In Acts 10, verse 38, the Bible says, you know that God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power, who went about, Jesus went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil, for God was with him. Now notice, it says that Jesus was anointed with the power of the Holy Spirit. Jesus didn't do any miracles until after he was anointed by the power of the Holy Spirit, when he was baptized. Remember when Jesus got baptized and the Bible says the heavens were opened and the Spirit of God descended upon him? That's when Jesus was anointed with the Holy Spirit. You see, Jesus was dependent on the power of the Holy Spirit, because Jesus, when he came to the earth, he laid aside his own godly power. He laid that power aside. The Bible tells us in Philippians chapter 2, verse 5, your attitude should be the same, should be the same kind that was shown by Jesus, who, although he was God, he did not demand and cling to his rights as God, but he laid aside his mighty power. Jesus laid aside his mighty power and his glory, and he took the disguise of a slave and he became a man. Jesus, the Son of God, the second person in the Godhead, came to the earth, laid aside his godly power, and lived as a man. You see, Jesus was God incarnate. He's the Son of God. He's the second person in the Godhead, but when he came to the earth, he laid aside his own godly power, and he was dependent on the power of the Holy Spirit. That's why Jesus didn't do any miracles until he was anointed with the Holy Spirit. There's no record of Jesus doing any miracles until after he was baptized and anointed by the Holy Spirit. Now, when you receive the Holy Spirit, you too are filled with power. So you can do the supernatural things that Jesus did when he was on the earth. That's what Jesus said in John 14, verse 12. He said, the person who follows me in faith, believing in me, will do the same mighty miracles that I do, even greater miracles than these, because the reason we can do these miracles is because I go to be with my Father. Now, why are we able to do the miracles Jesus did? Because he went to be the Father. Because when he went to be with the Father, what happened? He sent the Holy Spirit to empower us. Amen. Let me tell you, Jesus did so many miracles when he was on the earth. He healed sick people. He opened blind eyes. He opened deaf ears. He healed people from leprosy. He healed paralyzed people. He raised the dead. He set people free from demonic powers. I mean, and the Bible says we can do the same mighty miracles that Jesus did because he went to be with the Father. Amen. Because he sent the Holy Spirit. Isn't that right? The same Holy Spirit who anointed Jesus has now been sent to anoint us. And the Holy Spirit will empower you. He will help you with things you have to do every day. He'll help you even like on your job. He's come to help you. In Acts chapter 2, we see where the Holy Spirit came to the earth. It says in verse 1, on the day Pentecost was being fulfilled, all the disciples were gathered in one place, and suddenly they heard the sound of a violent blast of wind rushing into the house. And it says, from out of the heavenly realm came this rushing mighty wind, and the roar of the wind was so overpowering, it was all anyone could hear. And then all at once, a pillar of fire appeared before their eyes. It separated into tongues of fire that engulfed each of them. And it says they were all filled and equipped with the Holy Spirit. And they were inspired to speak in tongues, empowered by the Spirit to speak in languages that they had never learned. They began to speak out in this heavenly tongue when they were filled with the Holy Spirit. See, that's a supernatural language that the Holy Spirit gives you when you're filled with the Holy Spirit. And they were also filled with power. I mean, these men who were fishermen, every day, common people like you and me, when they got filled with the Holy Spirit, they began to do extraordinary things. They began to go out and they began to heal the sick, and they began to cast out devils. They began to preach the gospel to the world. They turned cities upside down by the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen. The same Peter who denied the Lord three times on the night Jesus was betrayed. After he's filled with the Holy Spirit, he starts boldly preaching on the streets of Jerusalem, and 3,000 people receive Jesus and are saved in a single day. In the next chapter, in Acts chapter 3, we see Peter and John healing a man who was paralyzed. He was at the gate Beautiful, and as they walked by, he asked them for silver and gold. They said, silver and gold I don't have, but what I have I give you. In the name of Jesus, rise up and walk. And the man was instantly healed. What was it that made the difference in Peter's life? How did he go from hiding in the shadows and denying the Lord to be boldly preaching on the street and thousands of people getting saved? What was the difference? The power of the Holy Spirit. That's what changed Peter. And you and I need the power of the Holy Spirit in our life. Can you say amen? You need the power of the Holy Spirit. You need to face the future in the power of the Holy Spirit. The church has denied the power of God and denied the power of the Holy Spirit. Religion tells us the supernatural is not for today. Miracles and signs and wonders, speaking in tongues, casting out devils, that's not for today. In fact, if you're somebody like me who believes in praying for people to be healed and casting demons out of people, a lot of people will look at you like you're a nutcase. And that's okay, because you may think I'm nuts, but God doesn't think I'm nuts. And the people that get set free, they don't think I'm nuts either. The church has been robbed of the power of the Holy Spirit, because we're so afraid of what other people think about us. The result is people go to church, they sit there like mummies on a pew, they listen to sermons telling them that God doesn't do this and God doesn't do that, there's no supernatural taking place, but I want you to know we are not going that way. We are going to face the future in the power of the Holy Spirit. We are not afraid of the future. No matter what happens, we are not afraid. Let me tell you, it's one thing to be born again. It's one thing to be born of the Spirit. But it's another thing to be filled and baptized in the Holy Spirit and get full of the power of the Holy Spirit in your life. So many people today, they've skipped over Acts chapter 2 where they were filled with the Holy Spirit. They want what they see in Acts chapter 3. They want signs and they want wonders and they want miracles. But in Acts chapter 3, Peter and John, they healed that lame man who was at the temple. But they were first filled with the Holy Spirit in Acts chapter 2 and they began to speak in other tongues. And then they went out in the power of the Holy Spirit and that paralyzed man was healed. That's why the Apostle Paul, he said in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, he said, my speech, my preaching were not with persuasive words of human wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and power. You see, in a lot of churches today, you'll hear eloquent words. You hear an eloquent, intellectual, doctrinal dissertation, but there's no power. There's no lives changed. Paul said, my speech and my preaching were not with persuasive words of human wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and power, that your faith should not be in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. And if you read it from another translation, the New Living Translation, it says, I relied only on the power of the Holy Spirit. And the Contemporary Bible says, I simply let God's Spirit show His power. Let me tell you, the Holy Spirit wants to demonstrate His power today. He wants to demonstrate His power in your life. And He wants to demonstrate His power through you. The power of the Holy Spirit is still available for us today. Amen? But unfortunately, many people deny the power of the Holy Spirit. They don't believe in speaking in tongues. Or they don't talk about it. I know some people who are filled with the Holy Spirit, but they never tell anybody else about it. Can you imagine being a pastor and you filled with the Holy Spirit, but you never tell your church about it? I know people like that. I'm just making this up. You know why they don't? Because they don't want to offend anybody. They don't want anyone to think they're weird. Listen, man. If you're interested in your reputation, you got the wrong priorities. The Bible says Jesus made Himself of no reputation. It matters not to me what you think of me. It really doesn't. What matters to me is pleasing God and what He thinks of me and doing what He wants us to do. Amen? When you proclaim the power of the Holy Spirit, man, you'll be persecuted. You'll even be hated. When God, you know, you see that in the scriptures. They walked in the power of the Holy Spirit. They always had a lot of persecution. they ticked off a lot of people too. Not everybody's happy about you walking in the power of the Holy Spirit. I thank God when God sent Peter to go and preach the gospel to the Gentiles, they were all filled with the Holy Spirit. They began speaking out in other tongues. Acts chapter 10, verse 44. Even as Peter was saying these things, the Holy Spirit fell upon all who were listening to the message. The Jewish believers who had come with Peter were amazed that the gift of the Holy Spirit had been poured out on the Gentiles too. How did they know that these Gentiles, these non-Jewish people, how did they know that they'd received the gift of the Holy Spirit? It says, because they heard them speaking in tongues and praising God. Do you know when you get filled with the Holy Spirit, you start speaking in other tongues and praising God? Being filled with the Holy Spirit was so important to them. Let me tell you, it was the first thing Paul would ask people, new believers, when he met them. Like in Acts chapter 19, in verse 1, it says, Paul traveled on through the regions of Turkey until he arrived in Ephesus, where he found a group of 12 followers of Jesus. And the first thing that he asked them, what was the first thing he asked them? Have you received the Holy Spirit? Did you receive the Holy Spirit when you became believers? That the first thing he asked them. No, they said, we haven't even heard about the Holy Spirit. And then it says, when Paul laid his hands upon them, he laid his hand upon each of the 12, the Holy Spirit manifested, and they immediately, what did they do? They spoke with tongues and began to prophesy. Paul knew how important it was to be filled with the Holy Spirit. And so did Peter. So did John. So did the early believers. In Acts chapter 8, it says, Philip traveled to a Samaritan city, and he preached to them the wonderful news about the Anointed One. And the crowds were eager to receive Philip's message, and they were persuaded by the many miracles and wonders that he performed. Many demon-possessed people were set free and delivered as evil spirits came out of them with loud screams and shrieks. And many who were lame and paralyzed were also healed. It says in verse 14, when the apostles in Jerusalem heard that the people in Samaria had accepted God's message, they sent Peter and John there. So when the apostles back in Jerusalem hear about what's going on in Samaria, they send Peter and John. And as soon as Peter and John arrive, what do? They prayed for these new believers to receive the Holy Spirit. First thing they did, man, prayed for them to receive the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit had not yet come upon any of them, for they had only been baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. So how many of you know that if you've been baptized in the name of Jesus, you're a believer? You've been born again, because the Bible says repent and then be baptized. So they'd received the Lord, they'd been baptized, but they hadn't received the Holy Spirit. It says, then Peter and John laid hands upon these believers, and they receive the Holy Spirit. So you can be a believer and yet not be filled with the Holy Spirit, particularly if nobody ever told you about Him. Amen? These people were believers. They'd been baptized, but they'd not yet been filled with the power of the Holy Spirit. The first thing the apostles do, they send Peter and John, go and get them baptized in the Holy Spirit. So you can be a believer and yet not be filled with the Holy Spirit, but you need to be. Why did Paul and the early apostles put such importance on this? Because Jesus put such importance on the Holy Spirit. They got it from Him. Being filled with the Holy Spirit is a subsequent experience to receiving Jesus in your life and to being saved. In Acts chapter 2, verse 38, the Bible says, Peter replied, he said, repent and return to God. Each of you must be baptized in the name of Jesus to have your sins removed. Then you may take hold of the gift of the Holy Spirit. So notice, I repent, I get baptized, then I can take hold and receive the Holy Spirit. For God's promise of the Holy Spirit is for you. Say, this is for me. This is for you and your family and for those yet to be born and for everyone whom the Lord our God calls to Himself. Now, the reason I know that the Holy Spirit is for every one of you is because if you're sitting here today, you're sitting here because God called you to Himself. The promise of the Holy Spirit is for you. Just like salvation is for everybody, water baptism is for everybody, so being filled with the Holy Spirit, speaking in tongues is for everybody. Every believer should pray in this heavenly language, pray in other tongues. If you've not experienced the power of the Holy Spirit, you can be filled with the Holy Spirit today. Today is your day. Amen. And we need the power of the Holy Spirit Let me tell you, the times we're living in right now, if there's ever a time we needed the power and strength of the Holy Spirit, it is right now today. When I feel like giving up, when I got no more power, I sense the Holy Spirit within me. I'm so grateful that in difficult times, the Holy Spirit brings power in my life, strength in my life, joy, peace in my life. He encourages me to keep on moving forward. Let me tell you, you need the Holy Spirit. Amen? Who is the Holy Spirit? Well, first of all, you've got to know the Holy Spirit is a person. When speaking about the Holy Spirit, Jesus spoke about Him. He spoke about He. When He comes, you see, the Holy Spirit is a person. He's the third person of the Trinity. There's three persons in the Godhead, the Trinity, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. We see this when Jesus was baptized in Matthew chapter 3. It says, as Jesus came up out of the water, the heavenly realm opened over Him, and He saw the Holy Spirit descend out of the heavens and rest upon Him in the form of a dove. And suddenly the voice of the Father. You've got the Father, Jesus, and the Holy Spirit all there in one verse. Three separate persons. The Father shouted from the sky, this is the Son I love, and my greatest delight is in Him. We have the Father speaking from heaven. We have Jesus, the Son of God, being baptized. And we have the Holy Spirit descend. That is the Trinity. Three persons, one God. Even back in Genesis, we see the Holy Spirit in creation. In Genesis 1:26, it says, God said, let us make humans in our image to be like us. Notice, us and our are plural words. The reason why they're plural is because the original Hebrew is the word Elohim, and Elohim means gods. So it didn't say, let me make man in my image. It said, let us. Who's He talking about? Father, Son, Holy Spirit, let us make man in our image. Are you with me? Genesis 1 verse 1, in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth was without form and void, and darkness was on the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. Jesus, who is the Word of God, spoke creation into existence, and the Holy Spirit was the power that brought God's Word to pass. Are you with me? Without the Holy Spirit, there would be no creation, no universe, no human race. Without the Holy Spirit, there would be no virgin birth. The Bible says in Matthew 1:18, this is how the birth of Jesus Christ took place. His mother Mary had promised Joseph to be his wife, but while she was still a virgin, she became pregnant through the power of the Holy Spirit. Let me tell you, without the Holy Spirit, there would be no virgin birth. Without the Holy Spirit, there would be no resurrection of Jesus. The Bible says in Romans 8, verse 11, the Spirit of God who raised Jesus from the dead lives in you. And just as God raised Christ Jesus from the dead, He will give life to your mortal bodies by His same Spirit living within you. Without the Holy Spirit, there's no resurrection. Without the Holy Spirit, there would be no power to effectively communicate the gospel. Because Acts 1, verse 8 says, you shall receive power after the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be my messengers. Let me tell you, without the Holy Spirit, there'd be no miracles in the life of Jesus, because Jesus was anointed with the power of the Holy Spirit and went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil. Without the Holy Spirit, there would be no Bible. 2 Timothy 3 verse 16 says, every scripture has been written by the Holy Spirit, the breath of God. It will empower you by its instructions and corrections, giving you the strength to take the right direction and lead you deeper in the path of godliness. If you want to know the right direction for your life, follow the instructions in the Word of God. Amen. The Holy Spirit is the one who wrote them. There'd be no Bible without the Holy Spirit. There'd be no way we could have faith in God without the Holy Spirit, because the Holy Spirit is the one who convicts us, and He's the one who draws us. What does the Holy Spirit do in our life? In John 16, verse 7, Jesus said, I'm telling you nothing but the truth. When I say it is profitable, good, expedient, advantageous for you that I go away, Because if I do not go away, the comforter, the counselor, the helper, the advocate, the intercessor, the strengthener, the standby, he will not come to you. But if I go away, I will send him to you to be in close fellowship with you. Who is he? He's our comforter. He's our guide. He's our teacher. He's our helper. He's our strengthener. He's our advocate. Man, he's the power within us. Amen. The Message Bible says it's better for you that I leave, because if I don't leave, the friend won't come. But if I go, I'll send him to you. The Holy Spirit is called our comforter. He is called our counselor. He's called our advocate. He's called our intercessor, our strengthener, our standby, our encourager, our teacher, our guide, our friend. Amen. I think helper says it best, because the Holy Spirit is a helper in your life. The Greek word is the word parakletos. It means one called alongside to help. The Holy Spirit has come to help you. The Holy Spirit empowers you. He guides you. He teaches you. He strengthens you. He helps you to pray. Amen. I need the Holy Spirit to help me pray. When you get filled with the Holy Spirit, He enables you to pray in a supernatural way. It's called praying in tongues or praying in the Spirit. In 1 Corinthians 14, verse 14, the Bible says, "For if I pray in an unknown tongue, my spirit, by the Holy Spirit within me prays, but my mind is unproductive." When I pray in the Spirit, in tongues, I'm praying from my spirit, not from my mind. I'm not praying from my mind, I'm praying from my spirit. The New Living Bible says, "If I pray in tongues, my spirit is praying, but I don't understand what I'm saying." It's very important you realize I've been praying in tongues for 41 years. I do not understand what I'm saying unless God gives me the understanding, unless He gives me the interpretation. Otherwise, I don't know what I'm saying, because it's the Holy Spirit praying through me in a heavenly language directly to God. Amen. Your spirit is praying, not your mind. You don't know what you're saying. It's a spiritual language. It comes from your spirit. In 1 Corinthians 14, verse 2, it says, "When someone speaks in tongues, no one understands a word he says, because he's not talking to people. He's not speaking to people. He's speaking to God." You see, I'm not speaking to people. I'm speaking to God. I'm speaking intimate mysteries and secrets in the Spirit unto God. You may not understand what you're saying, but you're speaking mysteries to God. In fact, when you pray in tongues, the Holy Spirit helps you to pray the will of God for your life. The Apostle Paul understood the power of praying like this. The Apostle Paul said in 1 Corinthians 14, verse 18, "I thank God that I speak in tongues more than any of you." Evidently, Paul spoke a lot in tongues. He prayed a lot in tongues. In verse 5, he said, "I would like every one of you to speak in tongues." Let me tell you, he said, "I want every one of you to speak in tongues." That's my prayer as well. I pray that every one of you will speak in tongues in your life, because I know what it'll do for you. I know what it'll do for you. Let me tell you why you need to be able to pray, why you need to pray in tongues. Number one, when you pray in tongues, you pray God's will for your life, even when you don't know what it is. In Romans 8, verse 26, this is one of the greatest things for me about praying in tongues. It says, "The Holy Spirit helps us in our weakness. For example, we don't know what God wants us to pray for." There's many times when I don't know what God wants me to pray for. "But the Holy Spirit prays for us with groanings which cannot be expressed in words. And the Father who knows all hearts knows what the Spirit is saying. For the Spirit pleads for us believers in harmony with God's own will." When I pray and speak in tongues, I can know that I am praying in harmony with God's will for my life. And we know that God causes everything to work together for the good of those who love God and are called according to His purpose for them. One of the greatest things about praying in tongues is I'm praying the will of God even when I don't know what it is, because the Holy Spirit's praying through me. The Passion Bible says the Holy Spirit takes hold of us in our human frailty to empower us in our weakness. For example, at times we don't even know how to pray or the best things to ask for, but the Holy Spirit rises up within us to super intercede on our behalf, pleading to God with emotional sighs too deep for words. It says, God, the searcher of the heart, knows fully our longings, yet He also understands the desires of the Spirit, because the Holy Spirit passionately pleads before God for us, His holy ones, in perfect harmony with God's plan and our destiny. When I pray in tongues, I'm praying in perfect harmony with God's plan and destiny for my life. So we are convinced that every detail of our lives is continually woven together to fit into God's perfect plan of bringing good into our life, for we are His lovers who've been called to fulfill His design purpose. When I pray in the Spirit, God causes everything to be woven and come together for my good. One of the things I'm most thankful for is being able to pray in this heavenly language, be able to pray in tongues. It's my go-to. And let me tell you, when I'm facing situations where I don't know what to do and I don't know how to pray, you know what I do? I pray in tongues. I just start praying in tongues, because then the Holy Spirit is praying in perfect harmony with the will of God through me. The Holy Spirit has come to help us pray according to God's will when you don't know what to pray for, because you're not praying with your own wisdom. You're praying with the wisdom of the Holy Spirit, even though you don't know what you're praying. This is what allows God to work on our behalf and bring everything to fit into His plan. Because when you pray in tongues, let me tell you, you can expect all things to work together for your good. Because God is able to arrange your future. He's able to arrange for you to meet the right people. He's able to orchestrate things in your life. When you face a problem, you don't know the solution, you can say, Holy Spirit, please help me. I'm facing this problem. I don't know what to do. I don't know what to pray. I commit it to you. Help me to pray God's will. Help me to pray that I make the right decision and order and direct my steps, Lord, into your destiny for my life. And begin to pray in tongues. The Holy Spirit has been sent for you. You need Him, and you need to pray in the Spirit. Amen. Ephesians 6 verse 18 says, pray in the Spirit at all times and on every occasion. The second reason why you need to pray in tongues is because when you pray in tongues, you are fellowshipping with the Holy Spirit and you become sensitive to His voice. You become sensitive to His guidance. You see, the more time you spend praying in tongues, the more intimate you become with the Holy Spirit, the more aware you become of His voice. 2 Corinthians 13, verse 14 says, may the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. And the Message Bible says, may the intimate friendship of the Holy Spirit be with all of you. And there's another scripture that I believe I gave you as well, and it's Philippians 2, verse 1. It says, you have experienced a deepening friendship with the Holy Spirit. You see, we are to experience, God wants you to have a deeper friendship, to come to know the Holy Spirit as your friend, where He guides you, He directs you, you trust Him, you know His voice. Are you with me? And you see, you've got to spend time fellowshipping with the Holy Spirit. You've got to hang out with Him. You've got to talk to Him. You've got to listen to Him. When I pray in tongues and I pray in the Spirit, I'm not speaking to people. I'm speaking directly to God. I'm fellowshipping with the Lord. I'm spending time in His presence. When I pray in the Spirit, not only am I praying, supernaturally praying God's will to be done in my life, but I'm also fellowshipping with the Holy Spirit. And it makes me more sensitive to His voice. I'm able to receive guidance from Him. I'm able to receive wisdom from Him. One of the greatest assets of my life has been having a relationship with the Holy Spirit. Since the time I was 16 years old, He's the one who guides me in my life. The Bible says in Romans 8, verse 14, for all who are led by the Spirit of God are children of God. All who are led by the Spirit of God are children of God. The Contemporary English Version says only those people who are led by God's Spirit are His children. Think about that for a minute. Only those people who are led by God's Spirit are His children. Think about it. Who is leading your life? Who is in charge of your life? Is it you or is it the Holy Spirit? Who's guiding you? The Holy Spirit helps me, teaches me, comforts me, strengthens me, empowers me, guides me. I'm up here today preaching because of the power of the Holy Spirit in my life. You would have never got me to stand up in front of people before I received the Holy Spirit. You're going to be kidding me. I was shy, shy, shy. But Jesus said in Mark 11, verse 13, when they put you under arrest and they hand you over for trial, don't even give one thought about what you're going to say. Simply speak what the Holy Spirit gives you at the very moment and realize it won't be you speaking, but it'll be the Holy Spirit speaking through you. So many times when I talk to people, I don't always know the right things to say. But as I step out in faith, the Holy Spirit rises up on the inside of me. And He begins to help me. He begins to give me the right things to say. You see, the purpose of the power of the Holy Spirit is for people. It's to be a more effective witness for Jesus. And I encourage you to develop a relationship with the Holy Spirit. Amen. Develop a relationship with the Holy Spirit. The third reason why you need to pray in tongues is because when you pray in tongues, not only do you pray the will of God for your life, not only are you fellowshipping with the Holy Spirit, but you are personally, supernaturally edified in your life. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians 14, verse 4, anyone who speaks in a tongue edifies themselves. The New Living Bible says a person who speaks in tongues is strengthened personally. You see, when you pray in tongues, you are supernaturally edified and strengthened. You can feel it. You can experience it. You're filled with joy and peace and calmness and rest. See, this is what I do. When I feel weak, when I feel discouraged, when I don't know what to do, I'm telling you, I can't even imagine living my life without being able to pray in tongues. It builds you up like nothing else. It edifies you like nothing else on earth. Jude verse 20 says, you constantly and progressively build yourselves up on the foundation of your most holy faith by praying every moment in the Spirit. The Amplified Bible says, you build yourselves up on your most holy faith, you make progress, and you rise like an edifice, higher and higher, praying in the Holy Spirit. Who is the one who edifies and encourages you and builds you up? The Holy Spirit does, but you're the one who determines how much you want to be edified. Because the more you pray in the Spirit, the more edified you get, the more built up you get. If you don't pray, guess what? Don't pray in the Spirit, don't get edified. Pray in the Spirit, get edified. Don't pray in the Spirit, don't come to know the Holy Spirit. Pray in the Spirit, you come to know Him. Don't pray in the Spirit, you don't know how to pray the will of God for your life. Pray in the Spirit, and you pray God's will even when you don't know what it is. Amen. You determine how much edification you need. Greek scholars tell us we have a word that is closer in meaning to the word edify, and that word is the word charge. Just like you charge a battery, you can supernaturally charge up your spirit by praying in the Spirit. Are you still here? Now, I know there's some folks watching this and even in this church. I know there's some folks in this church that you haven't gotten a hold of this yet. And I've been preaching this for years. And I've got to tell you right now, one of the greatest, most important things in my life is praying in tongues. I do it every day. Because you know why? Because every day I need to be recharged in my spirit. Every night when I go to sleep, I plug in my phone. I plug my phone and I recharge it. Because if I don't, I get up in the morning, my phone's not charged. It's like dead. Then I've got to go the whole day with no battery, and you know what it's like. So what I do at nighttime, while I'm sleeping, I charge, plug my phone and I wake up 100% charged. When I pray in tongues, I plug myself into the Holy Ghost supercharger. And I get charged up and edified and empowered as I pray in tongues. Every day I need to be recharged in my spirit. And you are charged with the power of the Holy Spirit when you pray in tongues. The anointing of God, the presence of God begins to rise up in your heart. In 1 Corinthians 14, verse 4, it says, a person speaking in tongues helps himself grow spiritually. The Passion Bible says the one who speaks in tongues advances his own spiritual progress. Let me tell you, every believer can speak in tongues. I cannot overestimate the benefits, the value of praying in the Spirit. Is it possible that maybe you're losing some battles because you're not putting on the whole armor of God, because you're not building yourself up spiritually, you're not allowing your spirit to pray? Is the doorway to the supernatural. You'll never enter into the supernatural realm without praying in tongues. It's the doorway through. When I was 16 years old, I received Jesus in my life. And just shortly after that, Pastor Theo prayed for me to be filled with the Holy Spirit. And I started speaking in tongues. I just had a couple of words. I just started out with a few words. I was very shy in those days. And of course, those days are gone forever. But in those days, I was very shy, and I was praying real quietly, and Pastor Theo said to me, Steve, I just had a couple of words. He said, when you go home, just keep on praying those words. When you're on by yourself, just keep on praying those words, and you'll see you're going to get this whole language. And sure enough, I did that. I was laying in my bed, and I was 16, and I was praying my two words, I think, or three words in the Spirit, and the devil's telling me, You look stupid. You look foolish. I mean, you look. What are you doing? It's funny. The devil never told me I looked stupid when I was out there in the world acting like an idiot. He never told me I was stupid. The moment I got saved, I was going to church. Then he told me how stupid I was. I'm lying in bed and I'm praying my couple of words, and all of a sudden, it's like you turned on the faucet. This whole language just came out of me. I started praying in the Spirit, and I haven't stopped. As a teenager, I'd go lie in our den, and I'd close the door, and I'd lie on the floor, and I had a record player in those days. I had LP. I'd put on my worship, Phil Driscoll, put on big LP, and I'd lie on the floor. 16 years old, and I'd pray in the Spirit for an hour. My friends would come by, and they'd say, is Steve here? And my mom would say, he's praying. They'd think I was nuts. I'm laying there on the floor, karababasikara. I thought he's lost his mind. Let me tell you, all those years of praying as a teenager, God directed my life. God went before me and he prepared my life. He saw this moment right now, all those years ago, praying in the Spirit. I'm praying the will of God. I cannot overestimate what this will do for you. I became intimate with the Holy Spirit. I came to know his voice. So when I'm out there, I hear him. I hear his warning. I'm riding my motorcycle. He warns me. It's like something goes up on the and I'm on the lookout because he's with me. He's guiding me. I learn to know his guidance. I learn to know when I'm somewhere, I'm out there, and we got a happy hour. Anyone else got a happy hours here? We got a happy hour. We like cheap meals, and we're and sometimes we sit at the bar. You ever see me sitting at the bar? Just know I'm on an evangelistic mission right there. Because I'm at the bar and I sense the Lord. There's someone sitting next to me. I sense him. Talk to them. And before you know it, man, I'm sharing the gospel with them. The Holy Spirit is my friend. He's your friend. All the great things that happened in my life happened because I followed the Holy Spirit's guidance. That's how I came to get this wife right over here on the front row. I got this wife following the Holy Spirit. Everything good in my life was following the Holy Spirit's direction. Amen. I thank God for the Holy Spirit. I thank God for his guidance, his power in my life. How do you receive the Holy Spirit? Let me close with this today. Understand, the Holy Spirit is a free gift from God, and there's nothing that you can do to work for Him, to earn Him, or to deserve Him. In Acts 2, verse 38, Peter said, "Each one of you must turn from sin, return to God, be baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins. Then you also shall receive this gift, the Holy Spirit." Notice the Holy Spirit is a gift. You just got to receive Him. Well, I don't know, Pastor Steve, you know, I don't know if I'm ready for that. There's still some things in my life. That's why you need the Holy Spirit. Number two, the Holy Spirit is not just for some special people, but He's God's promise for all believers. In Acts 2:39, for God's promise of the Holy Spirit is for you and for your family, for those yet to be born, and for everyone whom the Lord our God calls to Himself. Number three, ask in faith for the infilling of the Holy Spirit, and know that you will receive. Jesus said in Luke 11, verse 13, if you sinful people know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask Him? Number four, speak out the new words, the strange sounds that begin to rise up from your spirit. Feels like from your belly. You've got to speak it out. The Bible says in Acts 2:4, they started speaking in a number of different languages as the Spirit prompted them. The Holy Spirit inspires you, prompts you, but you've got to open your mouth and speak those words out. They're the ones who did the speaking. The Holy Spirit will prompt you, but you've got to open your mouth and you've got to begin to speak. Number five, don't let your mind get in the way. Because 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 19 says, do not quench, subdue, suppress, or be unresponsive to the working and guidance of the Holy Spirit. You see, don't let your mind get in the way, because the enemy will lie to you, and he will tell you that you're not speaking in tongues. He will tell you that this is all a bunch of garbage, that it's all made up. He tells everybody that. You've got to don't let your mind get in the way. Number six, breathe in deeply as an act of faith to receive the Holy Spirit who is in our midst today. Number seven, as you breathe out, trust the Holy Spirit on the inside of you. Begin speaking out whatever sounds seem easy to make. And number eight, don't stop speaking until there's a free, clear flow of words. And lastly, keep praying in tongues every day. Praying in tongues is not just something you do on Sundays for 10 seconds. This is something you do every day. Amen? Do you receive this today? How many people here have been filled with the Holy Spirit and you speak in tongues? Wave your hand at me. I want you to start speaking right now. Come on. Start talking right now. I want you to start talking. If you're filled with the Holy Spirit and you pray in tongues, start praying now. If you are not filled with the Holy Spirit and you want to be, I'm going to lay hands on you. You're going to receive today. I want you to come right now. If you say, Pastor Steve, I haven't been filled with the Holy Spirit, I don't speak in tongues, today is your day. Stand up of your feet. Come and stand right here. I'm going to pray for you right now. Come right now. Anyone watching this online, wherever you're watching, get ready. Receive the Holy Spirit in the name of Jesus. Receive Him now. Be filled right now. In Jesus' name, just begin to speak out those words. Speak out those sounds. Is there anyone in here today that wants to be filled with the Holy Spirit? Come on, I'm going to pray. Otherwise, I'll close the service. Don't come to me afterwards. Don't come to me after the service and ask me to pray. This is the time where I'm here to pray for you right now. Don't come to me afterwards. Now's the time. You want the Holy Spirit? Be bold enough to get up out of your seat and come stand here right now. Doesn't matter what anyone thinks about you. You need the power of the Holy Spirit in your life. Come now. Come, Jeff.
Come flood this place and fill the atmosphere.
In the name of Jesus. Be filled with the Holy Spirit, Jeff, right now. Receive Him in Jesus' name. Begin to pray. Begin to pray with me, Jeff. Begin to pray with me. Come on, church, stretch your hand toward these people. Begin to pray with them. Go ahead. Be filled. Ian, receive the Holy Spirit. Be filled with the Holy Spirit in the name of Jesus. Begin to pray out in that heavenly tongue. Begin to speak those words out. Come on, everybody. Pray in the Spirit. There you go. There you go. Receive in the name of Jesus. Lucas, receive in Jesus' name. Keep on. Keep on. Be filled in the name of Jesus. Receive. There you go. That's it. That's right. Come on, church. Pray. Lift your voice. Let me hear you pray. Receive in the name of Jesus. Filled in the name of Jesus. Are you praying? Come on, let's pray. You are praying.
Your glory,
pray with me. Are you praying? Praise God. Hallelujah. Come on, stand up with us, church. Stand up with us. I've tasted and seen
all the sweetest of loves. When my heart becomes free,
and my shame is undone
in your presence, Lord.
Your presence, Lord. Come on, sing it out, church. Welcome in this place. You're welcome.
Holy Spirit, come.
Let us experience the glory of your presence.
The glory of your presence. Let us experience the glory of your presence.
Welcome, Holy Spirit.
Come flood this place,
this place
and fill the atmosphere.
Fill the atmosphere.
Your glory, God, is what hearts long for, to be overcome by your presence, Lord.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Ian, how old are you, Ian? You're 15. I was 16 when I was filled with the Holy Spirit. I saw you with such a big smile on your face. You were smiling so big. Did you realize that? Did you notice that? He had this big smile on his face. You were praying. You were praying in tongues, right? Do you know what you were saying? No, I don't know either. You're speaking directly to God. I just saw this big smile on your face. Praise God. Listen, man. Let me tell you, going to church doesn't change your life. There's millions of people in church every day that's dead. The power of the Holy Spirit in a church, that changes your life. That's what changes your life. And thank God we want our young people on fire with the power of the Holy Spirit. And there's nothing greater. That's why I got fired up when I was 16. I got turned on to the Lord when I was 16. I received the Holy Spirit and I started praying, Ian. And God, the Lord has directed my life in this amazing way. And things that have happened I never would have dreamed, beyond my wildest dreams. Someone living in Africa, in South Africa, the Lord would do such things. So I encourage you to continue praying throughout your life, like your mom. Your mom's a real prayer. Keep on praying. Amen. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Lord, we thank you so much for your Holy Spirit. We thank you, Holy Spirit, as we go home today, you are with us. You go with us. Wherever we go, you're with us. When we wake up in the morning, you're with us. When we lay our head on the pillow, you're with us. Lord, I pray that every one of us become more aware of your presence. And I pray, Lord, that we'd all walk in your power and that we'd all know you intimately in Jesus' name. Amen. We love you. Thank you for being here today. We'll see you next Sunday. Bring someone to church next Sunday. Invite someone. Amen.